The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Welcome now to Joe filling in for Sean. Sean will be producing 12 to 6. Just got some people days off, so we make it work. We talked quite a bit of Rockets. We got to the Astros in the first hour. I did mention this very early in the show, so we'll get to it here. If you missed it on Friday, news was out there that, well, now former Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava was not thrilled with the status of his, you want to call it contract, NIL agreement, whatever you want to call it. He wasn't thrilled with it, and they were asking for more. And by they, I mean family, friends, representatives. They were telling Tennessee, hey, yesterday's price isn't today's price. Give us more money. And once that initial reporting came out, a representative for Nico said, no, we're happy. We're fine. We're fine with what Tennessee is offering. Don't let it be known, or don't let it be said that we were taking issue. And then Saturday he didn't show up for practice, and Tennessee lets everyone know that he's no longer part of the program. So we could see through the initial pushback from the representatives. We kind of didn't believe it at the time, and then less than 24 hours later, he was done as a Vol. Josh Pate joined John Lance earlier today to talk about this, among other things regarding college football and how things are changing. Josh Pate is the host of his own podcast and show. You can see it on YouTube, just like you can see what we're doing now on YouTube. And he is one of the more prominent voices in college football. So he joined the morning show. You can hear that on the podcast. But he also spoke on his own show about the situation, and not just Nico. You're going to hear him tell you about other guys, not in name, but what other guys were up to during last year's playoff.
This stuff was happening last December during the playoffs. With this kid included, but not just this kid, they were trying to get more money out of Tennessee and other players on playoff teams. We're trying to get more money out of playoff teams before the playoff games. They were trying to leverage playoff participation. Because do you know why? You want to know what the explainer was? The explainer was, well, our client, half these folks don't know the I comes before the E in the word, but hey, our client is being paid X amount of money to participate in 12 games, maybe a 13th if you make the conference championship game. And you guys made the playoff. He should make more money. This is the kind of BS that's happening behind the scenes, right?
Josh Pate of the Josh Pate College Football Show. So one of the names that Lance brought to the table while this was going on last year was Kevin Jennings. He is the quarterback at SMU. Because another quarterback who wasn't in the playoffs, his deal became public. Now, when he transferred to another place, Kevin Jennings allegedly, his representatives, his dad, said, hey, wait a minute, our guy's in the playoff. He's making less than this guy who's not in the playoff. I believe it was the Tulane transfer who may have transferred to Duke. We want more. And, of course, Kevin Jennings went out to have an awful game in the playoff, threw three picks, where in a game where SMU had a shot early, except he kept throwing the ball to Penn State, and that ruined SMU's chances. Oh, by the way, Nico Iamaliava, who was negotiating for more money, wasn't as bad as Kevin Jennings against Ohio State. He didn't throw picks, but he was not good. So a couple names that we know of who, at least according to reports, were renegotiating before the playoffs began, did not play well in those playoff games. And Tennessee said, no, you're not doing this again. You got to go. So the question is, I know a lot of consternation. How do you fix this? Well, I will say the first thing, particularly with Josh is talking about how they're renegotiating before the biggest games of your season. maybe you make them actual employees and have them sign contracts that state for a season's worth of games, this is what you're getting. And will it keep them from trying to renegotiate? Because I guess you would say they had a deal in place and they still tried this. But we got to get out of this murkiness of what's NIL and what isn't. Programs don't want to do it. Colleges don't want to do it. But if they are going to make money like the NFL product, and I'm not just talking about players, but I'm talking about the universities themselves, then start setting them up as employees. And that means collective bargaining agreements. That means a union. But how do you prevent this while understanding that the game has changed, that guys will get paid for their play, and you have to stop using NIL as no, they're getting that money elsewhere. If you're going to be this much involved in how this goes, while they can come to you and go, hey, Coach Heupel, Tennessee's head coach, if it ain't going to be this, I'm sitting out practices, and then I may just go someplace else. How does each protect themselves?
I think the first thing they have to do is, I wonder if we'll see schools like quickly adjust their NIL deals and just factor this in. Structure their contract. Like, think about, we got the report of Mike Elko's contract, right? When he signed with A&M.
He got a bonus for...
He got bonuses for SEC title games, appearances, wins. He got bonuses for everything, for each college playoff football win, how far he went, all of that stuff. And I think the players just structure them the same way then. If you structure them the same way, then it's not a problem.
Hello, John. I can hear John on AD's phone in there. Yes, I would agree. Now, of course, does that stop a player from coming in going, my bonus for making the playoff isn't as high as it should be because I heard about what TJ Lagway got?
Well, then get an agent. Stop having daddy
represent you. Some of them do have agents. I think some of them have both. They have the agent, and then they have dad who will push the agent. Hey, because dad might be in those circles more than an agent is, because dad's on the recruiting trips, dad or mom. The parents are going to different 7-on-7s around star players, different camps. So they get in touch with everybody else. So they understand, or they are told what others are making. Look, contracts are going to have to be strengthened. You're going to have to stop pretending like this is NIL. And just go all in and say, no, we're paying this guy to play here. And they're doing that, but NIL, I guess, kind of shadows it. And, hey, this isn't pay-for-play. Let's understand. All of it's pay-for-play. The players are operating like they're pros. Might as well start treating them like pros and everything that comes with it. Or you're Tennessee, and after he comes back and says, I want more, now you're stuck with inexperienced quarterbacks. And maybe you're in the portal setting the dominoes where you take a guy from someone else. Because you know, despite what anyone will tell you publicly, the tampering will begin in earnest if Tennessee doesn't believe in the options on their roster right now. I understand why people are bothered by it. I understand why Tennessee's in a tough spot. Because for all the potential solutions I'm providing, like contracts and treating guys like employees, look at the NFL. We see guys renegotiate all the time when they think they're being underpaid, even despite signing a deal very recently. So nothing's going to stop this, I think. Maybe you can tamper it down a little bit, but we're never going back. You're never getting the college, I guess you want to call it, experience that you might have rooting for your team back. You're going to be immersed if you're one of those people who lives online and understands the ins and outs of college football, that at any point, one of your star players can go, you know what? I would like what that guy's making and a little bit more because I'm better than him. My deal ain't as good anymore. And the reality is you have to hope your programs are up to it, which eliminates some people from, having real shots, because there are some programs who will never get the type of backing that they're going to need, where they once could delude themselves into thinking they can compete on the highest level. Now they're going to know money says no, you can't, because there are schools who will never win a national title, even despite their hopes and dreams and their aspirations. There are some schools who just aren't in a position where they will ever win one. Like, Virginia Tech was close in the 90s with Michael Vick. I can say pretty strongly, I don't think Virginia Tech's ever winning a national title. They're in a location that isn't great for recruiting as far as at the highest level. and they don't make the type of money that will allow for them to go purchase players that will let them win or help them win. And that's a school who's had success in the last 25 years, like been in a title game, had a number one overall pick. I don't think Virginia Tech's winning a national title ever again. I'll say Nebraska. I don't think Nebraska will ever win a national title again.
Really? See, because like the only thing is like the schools can't. Now, sometimes you have to have like, I don't know, a church to help like with what's happening at BYU.
If Nebraska has Mormon-like boosters like BYU does, they could outspend everyone, but that's a unique situation. I guess I would say what I know about Nebraska right now, unless there's some 25-year-old genius that went to Nebraska that in 20 years is going to be worth $18 billion and he wants to fund Nebraska football for whatever reason, unless you have one of those benefactors, like Tillman Fertitta with the Cougs.
It's why the Cougs actually have a chance to, like, even though they don't, you know, the football team, obviously, if they're good, people would show up.
Sure.
They show up early in the season. They've got a shot. Like they can be the best team in the Big 12.
So I guess I'll amend it. If the likes of Nebraska or Virginia Tech had their Phil Knight, if they had a Jeff Bezos, if they had one of those guys, yes, you can win because the guy has decided, I'm tired of just making money. I want to spend money on a football program and help them win. Okay, yes, that can happen. But
yeah,
the traditional NIL, yes, we're gonna get our collectives together and win that way. I don't think programs like those can win
title. And even see like big schools like, you know, Michigan needed Dave Portnoy to help pay $5 million or whatever it was to this freshman quarterback that's coming in. They got to flip. So to have, you know, like Nebraska would need Eric Crouch to have a bunch of money somehow, or
I don't know. I've seen Eric Crouch call.
Well, Will Compton just got a huge deal from FanDuel, so maybe
how
Will
much?
Compton...
Well, okay, sure, but how much money? Like we're talking FanDuel bag, or you own Amazon bag,
no,
or you own
sure.
Nike bag.
It's different, and that's why like they have to just go based off like they just need to pay everyone the same amount of money. I think it's really simple. Like pay every kid the same amount. You're all going to make money, just like with the college football video game. Everyone that's in it makes money. And then you can have endorsement deals on top of that, that yes, your school can help coordinate, but those are clearly endorsement deals. Because I think part of the problem, too, with like Nico, is you have money-hungry agents. In the NFL, you sign a player, it's 5% of the contract. In the NFL, like they get 30%. I mean, in college football, they get 30%.
I would say you still need your protection. That's why I mentioned employees. Because if Nico, and it was collectively bargained, was holding out for more, no other team can come get him. Like if this was an NFL deal, no other team can come get him. He's still under contract just because he wants more and he can't play. Until they start to, they decide that, no, these guys, look, we don't want to call them this, but these guys are employees.
Yep.
We'll go through all the things needed to make that real. Then they're always going to be in a position that no matter what they decide, they're going to pay a guy. The guy says, I want more, and there's another team willing to say, yeah, we'll pay him more. He's got an out. The contracts need to be signed. You need to become more like a pro league to protect yourselves, and then also the players can be protected because they can get that money is theirs, and they can't be taken away because of whatever reason.
What about buyouts? How would you feel like if, like...
Like a transfer fee?
USC comes in, they pay Nico the money he wants, and they have to pay the University of Tennessee a buyout of his contract.
That's like the soccer model.
Yeah, transfers and stuff.
Where the guy's under contract, but he wants out. And generally, soccer is more willing to let these guys out. Like, it's easier. Hey, so we're going to set a fee at this point. We'd love to keep you, but we kind of got you because we knew we could turn you into a great deal at some point because we can't afford your wages anymore, and then we can send you someplace for a transfer fee. That's what it would be if Tennessee is different because they would be able to pay if they wanted to. But Tennessee says, hey, if he wants out, the transfer fee is $2.5 million. And USC is like, you know what? That's a deal we take. We'll pay you $2.5, and then we'll give Nico whatever his wages are to play for us.
I don't think everyone will. Like,
Everyone won't.
Yeah, and I don't think even some of the big schools, like I don't think they'll play that game, honestly. So to me, it's Make everyone an employee. Let them have endorsement deals. I would personally get rid of the spring transfer portal.
It's not – look, the other
I
thing
think
is
– stupid.
The portal isn't real because Lucas – I think his name is Abram. I forgot his name. He's a DB that was at Wisconsin, now is at Miami. We've talked about this before on the show. The portal isn't real because they weren't going to let him into the portal. The understanding for players in universities are, according to NCAA, once a player asks to get out, you have to put him in the portal within 48 hours. Maybe it's 48 hours and business days, whatever. But you have to do it. Wisconsin said, no, we have an agreement with him. We're not going to do it. And that became a fight. Turns out, yeah, you thought you could control my NIL rights. You really can't because the house deal wasn't even a full go yet. And the other thing is, the portal isn't real. It's just a database. How it worked out, the kid enrolled at Miami and was on their active roster. They couldn't keep him away, even though they thought they could. For a real life scenario, we got to go to break. I think is that Eric? We'll get to him. If a kid wanted out in August and he decided to leave before the team he wanted to go to's enrollment date was finished or had passed, he could leave your school, enroll in that school, and then be practicing the next day and be active for week one or week zero, whenever. That's how fake the transfer portal is as far as restrictions. We found that out, and NCAA was asked about it. Actually, yeah, we don't. The transfer portal is really just some place where you guys find names. We can't actually enforce anything or keep a kid from leaving if he wants, as long as he can enroll by the final day. And that's where we stand. Kind of the wild, wild west. And Nico Iamaliava might be a turning point when it happened to an SEC school very publicly during practice in the spring, where they thought, at least from the outside looking in, they were going to be good. They had their quarterback for 2025. Turns out they don't. And now they may be looking to take your guy, depending on how receptive your guy is to listening. Where we are right now. Eric, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in, you can. That number is 713-780-3776. Black Monday in the NBA is underway. And with 20 teams being either in the playoffs or eligible to make it, it limits the number of guys who can get fired. But for the 10 who aren't in it, some guys losing their jobs. Mike Budenholzer, done after one season with the Suns. Complete disaster. That was a team with enough frontline talent that people thought they could make some noise, but they're poorly constructed. I saw an interview with Tyus Jones, who wasn't thrilled. They brought him in on a small deal, and he signed with them because he thought, you know, I got Beal and Booker and Durant. It's going to be a pretty good team. I can have a real shot. Sign for 1 year, do what I got to do, then make a lot of money when it's time for free agency. Didn't go well for him. He got benched eventually. Just one of the many problems with the Suns. So Budenholzer goes a year after what they fired Vogel. So, and Shams in the tweet mentions that Kevin Durant and the Suns are going to work on a trade. Look, you can't make it public knowledge that you are working on trading an NBA superstar and then not do it and then think it's going to be something that can be worked out in the offseason, because Kevin Durant was blindsided. He did not know that they were trying to trade him until he knew. So when you are shipping him, or at least trying to, because you want to acquire Jimmy Butler because Bradley Beal will not acquiesce and will not push aside his no trade so you can trade him to one of the dreg cities of the NBA, because he's like, why? I have this no trade for a reason. I waived it to come here, and I like Phoenix. I'm not giving it up so you can trade me to Sacramento or something. No. So now Kevin Durant has to go because they were desperate to get Jimmy Butler. Why?
This whole Phoenix thing is fascinating, because the Budenholzer firing does feel like that's also directly correlated to keeping Devin Booker happy, because they had their issues when he told Devin Booker to stop being so vocal during games. So then Devin Booker just stopped talking during games and stopped communicating on defense. So that feels like a move where they're trading Kevin Durant, they're stuck with Bradley Beal, but they're also going to try to salvage this relationship with Devin Booker. Good luck.
He is their franchise. He is – I don't know how much that area loves him, but he is, from what I can tell, a guy who would love to be there forever. Is it the Luka type of love? Is it Milwaukee with Giannis? I don't know, but he is of that ilk where – no one there is asking to trade Devin Booker. The disappointment that came from acquiring Durant and Beal and it turning into a disaster might have soured some people. But what does Phoenix have if they don't have Devin Booker? They're starting fresh, and they know what that's like because they were bad with Booker. The bubble happened where they played really well, and then they acquired Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. We saw where they were a finals team, and then, of course, they are where they are. I think they love to keep them, but first steps are getting rid of the coach and then maybe acquiring what you can for Kevin Durant and seeing if that makes your star, your franchise player happy.
I think a lot of it comes out of the lottery, man.
Well,
if the Rockets end up with a top three pick from Phoenix, I just feel like it just changes the conversation because Phoenix can say, well, we can reset. We can go get Ron Harper's kid from Rutgers. Or because I don't think – if the Rockets land on the first pick, they're just taking Cooper Flagg, obviously.
Yeah. Right?
Like, they're not trading that.
Yeah.
But if they get one, if they can get one of the two kids from Rutgers, that might be enough to where Phoenix goes, okay, now we can trade Devin Booker. We can have
you
a
think
build.
They're trading Devin Booker for – This is why
and all their other picks.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know what love affair that area has with Devin Booker because we have an example of what happens when you trade your star. Now, of course, they were coming off a finals appearance. That city loved Luka. I don't know. James Jones, be careful, buddy.
But like,
be
at
careful
least,
fire, like, trading your franchise player.
Like if I'm the Suns though, and like a fan, it's like, well, if he wants out. Like, at least we're getting a young prospect, a top three pick, if that's what the Rockets land in the lottery. The Mavs got a guy who got hurt in his first game.
It's true.
Well, like,
it's true. They didn't get enough for him. I just think it's a slippery slope to trading Devin Booker and then getting fired, if James Jones even lasts, because he's on another head coach at this point. So we'll see about that. Let's get to Eric, and then we'll get into some more NBA firings. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, with the NIL ruining college, the D-70s football players will go to the UFL. Also, if the ball's in the stands, it belongs to the fan. And one more thing, this administration needs to stop deporting fake Latinas. What's your thoughts, Dale?
First, I don't know that they have a policy about deporting thick Latinas. I mean, I don't know that that's part of their policy.
He's just saying, please stop. Don't let that happen.
Okay.
He wants policy.
He wants policy in place to make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, he wants a
all the other
policy.
People. All the other people.
Yeah.
Do we need a grading scale about who's thick and who isn't, and if they fall under the measurements, then they get to go? I don't know. That's just Eric being Eric. As far as the ball in the stands belongs to the fan, that's our reference to what happened over the weekend where an Astros fan snagged the ball, a foul ball, away from Mike Trout. I care less about that. Although I say, hey, the guy's got to play on it. Back away. I care less about that than the obvious. Less, I don't. Do I say a lie? The obvious lie where he's saying that I was doing that to protect my kid from getting hit. The ball wasn't going to hit your kid. I appreciate the cover up. I understand it. It's a great excuse to use.
It is,
but ain't nobody buying it. At least not from the video I saw. And what else is the other thing? The
UFL.
No, because college kids still get paid more to play college football than they do. To play in the UFL.
What do you think would happen if billionaire Dwayne The Rock Johnson called Nico and said, come play quarterback for the Roughnecks starting next week. Here's $10 million.
Well, $10 million is a bad investment for The Rock. Because
I agree, but like it's what they did with the UFL before.
Understood.
With Steve Young and obviously and all those guys.
But it's a different world. Mostly because of the years that have passed. No one cares about Nico that way.
I know.
No one cares about
him. And they were coming out of college going into the NFL. So they were choosing this other pro league over the NFL.
Yes.
That's where it's different.
You're trying to provide a soft landing spot for an average college quarterback who not that many people care about. Like, if he did that, the investment would be, hey, Shador, would you rather fall in the draft, possibly, or do I give you up front $10 million to play in this league? And not that I believe Shador has that type of pull either, but maybe you pay Deion to be the coach too. If we're using Nico as the example, he is not the quarterback to use. But as much as Shador has a presence as far as social media and people know who he is, I don't think there's value in that either, because am I going to watch Shador? I watched Shador Sanders play football at Colorado for 2 years. he ain't going to drive me to watch him play for the Roughnecks. I don't. He's not that type. He's a pocket quarterback. That ain't something that's going to get me to watch Roughnecks football.
I just don't think there's. To me, the competition's too low for any of it. This is going to be 2 for 2 on the last two times I've worked on your show, Dell. But like Kellen Mond, I'm sorry, man, taking a shot at him again. But he's quarterbacking the San Antonio team. Like, it's not compelling. It's not what it was. They had something. The XFL had something in 2020. It was working.
It was.
And then the world shut down, and no one cares anymore. And, like, yes, they sell out in St. Louis. Cool. But, like, they don't matter here. Like in terms of what they did in 2020.
And they don't matter because people actually care about the Texans again. Yeah. Part of the vibes were the Texans were embarrassing. They weren't a likable product. The XFL East is fun, and P.J. Walker is fun. The offense was fun. They're good. Shout out to Raheel, who's he's their in-game guy.
I don't think it's impossible for for this league to matter. I think it can eventually, but like it's just going to be a grind.
I really don't know how you get there, man. They've tried the things, the innovative things, to change the way it looks so it's not just an NFL, a bad reskin of NFL football. What do you do? Offenses aren't good. Quarterback play isn't good. Games are in the 15. Like, you see a random, like, even the random score of, like, 15 to 11 turns people off. Because they think, hey, that ain't football because of the different things you can do to change scoring in there that they've tried to make it more exciting. It's just a lot of, I remember that quarterback. He wasn't even that good in college. Now he's playing in this league.
I think they have something. They have, like, I think they have the right idea with some of their, I just think they got their markets wrong. Because, like, I don't know if it'll ever be a TV thing.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, I just Houston, Dallas, like, we see what's happening in St. Louis where, like, they're selling out, you know, where the Rams play, basically.
Could you make them college-based teams where, like, I think, like we have for that with the TVT, mm-hmm. where it's Boeheim's Army? Could you do that where if you are in an SEC town, if those one of those universities will let you play in their stadium, hey, anybody in the Carolina area who's played ball before, who still wants to play, you're going to be on the Carolinas team.
Oh, so like Clemson, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah, Tobacco Road. Do that and see if you can excite people to watch their college heroes play, mm-hmm. who still have something left in the tank. And maybe it's not a great TV watching experience but for people because, I mean, it's not a star-driven league. But, hey. If you tell me that you're throwing, let's say, Amari Rodgers, let's use him as an example, just guys who were Clemson stars, and hey, what is Marquise Williams up to, the former North Carolina quarterback? I'm just throwing out names. Throw all those guys there and say, hey, you're the Carolina team. You're playing in that league, and you're going to play, pick a stadium, whether it be Bryce Williams in South Carolina or you're playing in Death Valley in Clemson, whatever it might be. Something like that, but I don't know how you just, hey, we're going to put a team in San Antonio and get people to care.
I think, like, San Antonio's fine. St. Louis, I'd put a team in Oakland. I'd put a team in San Diego. I would put a team in Oklahoma City.
I would just make it more area-specific.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think this league is going to come in and, you know, honestly, like, it's an interesting comp. But, like,
Beckers.
Beckers, is that her name?
I know.
Is that how you say it?
Yes, it is spelled in a way where you think it shouldn't be sound. It should sound like that, but it's Beckers.
Okay, so she's gonna be the number one pick in the WNBA, right?
Yes.
But I just saw on ESPN.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
she also signed a deal with this new 3-on-3 league, and she's gonna be in both leagues.
Unrivaled. It's the thing that Caitlin Clark did not want to do.
Yeah,
because, like, she wanted to big up. She wanted to help the WNBA not distract. But Paige Beckers will do that.
Could you see? Because I think for this minor league team to work, is that they need a system. You know, you need Davis Mills should be the quarterback of the Texas team.
But is he getting a Texan salary? That's the only way you're going to get him down there to play, if that.
Yeah, I think it's it needs to be Triple A. Like, okay. They need to have feeder teams. Well, way it would work.
No, they would have to get him.
And then, or try to recruit guys like Nico and go bankrupt, I guess.
Very quickly. If they could get together with the NFL, that was always a rumor at one point that, hey, it could be a feeder system for quarterbacks who don't get a lot of time or don't ever get snaps. You play them down there. I don't know if the NFL would be interested in that, but there was a thought that they would be. Haven't seen that come to fruition, and of course, that's why the NFL is who they are. They would love to have a monopoly, it feels like, even if this league is in the spring and doesn't really compete. And that was always the goal for the XFL, to be an alternative back way back when it started. It still is that alternative, just doesn't have a lot of juice right now. We'll see how it plays out. Nico Iamaliava leading the Brahmas. Problem is, he would get paid more to play at UCLA.
Where do you think he ends up?
Who's willing to deal with that and be the team that's looked at as a as an enabler for all this?
Because
if you give him a soft landing spot, you're just opening it up. And I think there's a lot of people in college football who don't want to see him land in a spot where he gets a lot of money, because it just makes their jobs a lot tougher. Look, one thing I've learned about coaches, not all of them, I don't want to paint them all with the broad brush. I've learned the path of least resistance is what they're looking for. Don't make their jobs harder at all. And it's much like how we, like a lot of us, go through life, but the difference is they will tell their players, don't look for the easy way out. The hard way is the best way. But when it comes to them, don't provide me any obstacles.
No, I think there'll be a conversation. Can you keep it in your pants for a year? And I think the team I mentioned earlier, I think he's going to be a BYU Cougar. I'll call my shot. I think
they're going to fund the football program like they're doing basketball?
I don't know, but like, they've got so much money for basketball. They've got a $10 million backcourt in basketball.
BYU does, by the way.
BYU. A point guard and a shooting guard making $10 million next year.
Would BYU take a step to try to be a football power? It's more expensive to do it that way.
They were pretty good last year.
Yeah, we saw what they did to Colorado in a bowl game. Was it Colorado? Yeah, they beat Colorado up in a bowl game.
Every time Brian, Sean, and I went to La Burge, we would just bet on BYU and win money. Like, they were good last year.
Yeah, they were a team that was battling with SMU for the team that no one knew anything about that could make the playoff, and it turned out SMU did it even after losing to Clemson. So if BYU wants to spin, they certainly have the money to. All right, we'll go to break here. You want to call in and talk about, I guess, thick Latinos? Maybe don't do that. We already have one guy who does that. 713-780-3776. We got a couple more segments. We will be back. Before we got distracted by Eric, did want to mention that David Griffin is out with the Pelicans. He was praised for trading. He was in a bad spot. He had to trade Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis, if we remember, wore that That's All Folks shirt on the sidelines.
Great move.
He had to go. He made a trade, and he got what felt like everything from that Laker young team. Ingram, who's no longer there. Lonzo Ball, no longer there. You know, Zion was not a trade, but that was part of the equation. We're taking Zion. We're going to add all these young pieces. The one guy they didn't get was like Kuzma. And, of course, Kuzma went on. I think he was on that bubble title team. And then Kuzma's now Milwaukee being Kuzma. But it went from a very promising trade where it felt like Griffin, unlike Nico, got everything he could from the Lakers. Turns out it led to nothing. They've traded those guys away. They've made other trades, and nothing has come from that trade. And, you know, at some point, you got to go. It felt like you got a jumping off point to maybe turn that franchise into something. And, of course, if Zion's not going to be healthy and then he does those Zion things off the floor, there's no real way to win. And David Griffin done after six seasons with New Orleans.
Do you think new GM's first move is to try to trade Zion?
I think that's been David Griffin's move, but the problem with that is how much can you get for what was supposed to be this transformational figure for your organization, and what is enough, and what is any team offering for a guy who never plays, has the off the court stuff, and mostly it's
he's fat.
The women thing isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, but you don't want it as part of what you're bringing into your franchise. When every day you can look up and a certain OnlyFans creator can be talking about your franchise player that way, it's rough. I'm sure the marketing people are like, damn it, not again. So, but for the basketball part of it, he never plays. You can't trust him. And when he plays and he's out there, there are times where you're like, oh, I remember. You get reminded of what the promise was. But the problem is they're only reminders. It's not a constant thing. So I would say if you are the next person in charge, the mandate would be, at least if I was the owner, get what you can, don't make it embarrassing, and let's move on. Because is he going to play, is he not going to play, Zion thing is bad for everyone who is part of the organization. Just got to move forward. And pretending like this is going to flip while he's in the city and playing for your team, I think is a fool's errand. But you're always fearful that he'll figure it out. We're going to trade him someplace. He'll figure it out, and they're going to be looked at like we're really stupid because he didn't do it here, and now he's there. And at 28, 29, 30, he's in his prime and playing like the guy everyone thought he would be.
You mean like Anthony Davis, who was healthy all of a sudden for like the first full season in years?
Yeah, and then he wins a title. Yeah. His jump shooting that we haven't seen before or since in the bubble was remarkable, and it helps them win a title. Trust me, I'm bitter about it for reasons. He's playing my team. But he's never been that guy since, and he's banged up always. But you don't want to trade him, and then you look at it as your city being the problem. Wait a minute. The guy gets traded, insert whatever city, and he's back to being the potential best player in a league full of great players. But at this point, you give it up.
If you're Rafael Stone.
It's not going to happen. Oh, don't.
I have to.
If you're Rafael Stone,
okay,
what?
Okay, so the Phoenix Suns lottery pick doesn't move. It ends up at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Because there's a coin flip.
Sure.
And New Orleans says, we'll take the 10th pick in the draft and Reed and Cam for Zion.
10th pick, two young players who at this point aren't in your rotation, and that pick for Zion.
Is it worth the risk?
I don't think Cam Whitmore has a spot on this roster, so that will be an easy one for me. And if your pick is in that range, unless you, which, and they do have a pretty good scouting department when it comes to picking guys lower than the lottery, and this one would be in the lottery. Like Shingun's the clear example there. And if you make that move, I think that's an actual easy move for me if I believe Zion is going to play. Not be great, not be top pick Zion, but if I thought I can get 65 games out of Zion every year, I'd make that trade.
Including the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, including the playoffs.
Honestly,
65 plus the
if
playoffs?
If you played 40 games in the regular season and then you got him to play in every playoff game.
But you're paying him. That's the problem.
I know.
Like, if you told me he'd play 60 games, never qualify for postseason awards, so that means I never have to give him the Supermax because he can never make first-team All-NBA. That helps me if I'm playing the financial game in my eyes. He plays 60 games, and I got him for the playoffs, no matter how long they go. I feel like it's an easy move for me.
You think it's enough for the Pelicans? Because you get two young players, like both who have some promise.
Yeah.
Who will be exciting.
I don't think they've gotten a deal that good.
I don't think so either. And because, like, if you're the new GM, you have to call all 29 teams and say, what's your best offer? And then we'll talk to Zion to make sure he wants to come there.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, you have to. And I think he gets moved this season. I think it's a team that's, like, desperate. Like Charlotte?
Yeah, Washington. Maybe they think teaming him with Bridges and in Charlotte's case, LaMelo and him, they would have something there.
Yeah.
What that would be is, I don't know.
Or, like, if you swap them, like, I know LaMelo's scored a lot of points, but he was, like, the most inefficient player and took the most shots since Kobe Bryant.
I don't – if you're New Orleans, I'm starting as fresh as I can. Like
yeah, I don't want LaMelo.
I don't want any LaMelo baggage. I don't want to have to pay LaMelo. A guy who doesn't play either. That's another guy who's never on the floor. So if we're talking about Rockets specific in this hypothetical – you want to give me Reed and Cam and I would say two first rounders for Zion. They don't both have to be Phoenix picks. You give me one Phoenix pick. You give me one of your picks from years in the future. I'll do that.
I'm not giving up two Phoenix picks for Zion.
No, I'm not doing that. That's why I'm trying to make it realistic for the Rockets. But that's the risk you take. You're trading future picks and young players who don't cost much for a guy who you're not sure is going to be available.
Honestly, I think Oklahoma City should do it.
I don't know, man.
They have so much draft.
You win
capital,
68.
Dude.
You're winning 60 plus games. You're messing up that formula for Zion.
Like, they got like 30 draft picks.
Yeah, but you're going to trade players too. Who are you giving up?
No, just give up. You can't keep all those picks, man.
I know. Yeah, you have to trade the picks, but you got to make salary work. So who are you trading?
Yeah,
you're gonna have to trade someone you value.
Caruso.
Well, yeah. If it's Alex Caruso, sure, but I don't think that's what the Pelicans are looking for.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the Pelicans are looking for. They're screwed. Well, they gotta move them. Like
we're talking about trading Zion. Yes, they're screwed because they got rid of Ingram, who was almost untradeable. No one wanted to give up anything of value for him, and that's why they got what they got for him. And sent, he had to go to Toronto to make a move, because Toronto's, you know what, we want, how many mid-range jump shooters can we acquire? We want another one. Let's bring Brandon Ingram in and see how it works out.
Gave him a contract and didn't play this
season.
Well,
that's a problem.
Unreal.
The deal is, if you trade him, you might as well pay him. Well, what are you trading him for? What are you trading for him for if you're just going to let him walk? So as soon as that deal happened, that you just talked about asking Zion whether he'd want to play there. Part of the Raptors thing was, if we're trading for Brandon Ingram, we got to be sure he's going to sign a deal. Because as much as his value might be in the tank, we're not going to trade away assets just for him to walk away. So they make that deal. Scotty Barnes, quickly, Ingram, and Barrett. Everyone can shoot 20-foot jumpers. See how it works out for you. Probably not well. Okay, we got one more segment to go. Joe's going to see what other damaged goods the Rockets can trade for after a 50-plus win season. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about if you want to call in, 713-780-3776. We got one more. We'll be back. Welcome back. You're on Twitter or Twitch or YouTube. You see me getting into my chair late because Sean, who's in the building, along with Joe, we're all talking about our dynasty, our CFB 25 dynasty. And I was thinking to myself, how are we going to treat this when 26 comes out?
Well, we got to take a break at some point.
Yeah, we're moving really quick.
We're going to lose one of our guys coming up soon. He's going to be going to the Secret Service Academy.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Which sounds crazy to say. Yeah. My best friend's growing up. He was my best man at my wedding. He looks like he's going to get an offer from the Secret Service here.
Nuts.
So he's going to go to the academy. So he's going to drop out of the league for a little bit.
Understandable.
Understandable.
I mean, you don't want to be the guy watching Viola Davis save herself like that, like an NG20. Yeah. You don't want to be the guy who forces the president to save herself. So I imagine he will be busy getting ready.
So I think like a month before the game comes out, maybe 2 months. We just take a little pause.
Yeah, everyone get
excited for the new game.
Yeah, and then we got to figure out who we're going to pick. There's a lot going on in there for three of us who currently work here. We had a fourth guy who used to work here. And then, as you heard, we've got a very important person coming up who will have to depart. It's cool with me.
I'll tell you. I'm sick of
guys stealing my recruits just because they coach someplace that I don't coach.
It's so funny. I played so much of that video game this weekend. We played five games on this weekend.
I played six. I played a lot,
We're grinding through these video games quite a bit.
I mean, we're working hard, everybody, if you can't tell. All right, let's get to this before we go. It's very quick. We got Paul Gallant coming up next. A lot of conversations about the Rockets' lack of respect, and that continues because the betting odds, at least according to ESPN, better out for the teams who are favorite to win the title. Thunder and the Celtics, in that order, are your two favorites. So the Celtics, who aren't even the one seed, are the favorite. And that's kind of been the case all year. Everyone thinks when they're a full go, they're better than the Cavs. The Warriors and the Nuggets are ranked fifth and sixth to win the title. And the Rockets went from 100 to 1 to 80 to 1. And they and the Pistons went from 1,000 to 1 to 250 to 1. So the Warriors are 150 to win it. And the Nuggets even worse than that. So the Rockets have actually moved up. Now that the playoffs are set, the Rockets have moved up. But
Clippers are number two in the West, you said?
I'm looking at the – for whatever reason, they don't have the order. They just locked down the favorites. But the Cavs, they just went with best teams to win it all.
Gotcha.
By conference to win the West. The Cavs are third. The Rockets have moved up a little bit, but because they were like seventh or eighth to win the West, depending on the site you went to. So those odds have changed. But the Warriors and the Nuggets are still fifth and sixth to win the title. So ahead of the Rockets. It's prove it time for the Rockets. You're the two seed. You still have worse odds than... Actually, take that back. You still have worse odds than some who you finished ahead of, excuse me. So... now you get a chance to prove it, as they still don't know their opponent. We'll find that out tomorrow night, as the Grizz and the Warriors play in San Francisco. We'll see how that goes. All right, we're done for the day. Thanks to Joe for filling in. Inside the Icebox
Thursday
is the name of the podcast.
Yep.
Listen to that. It's Astro-centric. Hear all you need to hear about the Astros from him and Jeremy Branham, the host of the Killer Bees, or the co-host of the Killer Bees. All right, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.